You have a longtime friend by the name of Otis Winters.
Yes.
Isn't there a story that he tells when you boys were attending camp?
Well, there are a lot of stories. Otis and I were at Camp Kanakuk together. Are you talking about the watermelon incident?
I believe so.
Okay. We were floating down the White River when it was a warm water stream before there were any dams built. We were on overnight camping trips, and we would pull our canoes up on the little islands in the middle of the river, turn them on their side, and make a shelter with them for the rain by using the canoe paddle. One day, Otis and I were floating down the White River, and there was a watermelon patch over on the left. I said, Otis, let's go get one of those watermelons. We'll tie a rope around it and pull it behind us, and this river will cool it down, and when we get to camp, we'll have dinner, and then we'll carve it up and eat it. He thought that was a good idea, so we got the watermelon. We figured nobody'd miss a watermelon. We got to camp, and we're in our canoe shed after dinner, and we're carving up the watermelon, and I see these four legs standing beside us because you couldn't see the top of who was there. One guy was in a pair of Big Smiths, and the other guy was the counselor in charge of the float trip. And the big guy in the Big Smith says, they're the ones. They're the ones that got the watermelon. Everybody called me Sammy. So the camp counselor said, Sammy, is that true? And I said, yes, we took the watermelon. We didn't think anybody'd miss one watermelon. And I almost got kicked out of camp for that.
I suppose. That's the closest you came to getting a record, right?
That's correct. That's as close as I've ever been.
So as you look back on the law profession, can you give us an overview how it's changed? Technology maybe has helped a lot.
Well, the biggest change in the legal profession is the fact that women are in it. It's been a joy to have women in the legal profession. I hate to refer to them as somebody special. Women are women.
Right.
But they're smart. They're hardworking. They're loyal. They have empathy and understanding of other people's problems. I think it's changed the legal profession tremendously. And of course, we have now so much science involved in what we do. I don't even know how to use it all. I still use a yellow pad and write things out.
But the technology and the internet helps you and the profession do research a whole lot faster than they did back in the day.
That's correct, except I miss the law books. It always made me feel like a lawyer when I was reading a law book and getting a case out of it instead of having it printed off by my computer.
Right.
I like going to the library. I like digging in the law books. I like using the reference tools. We don't have a library anymore, and I miss it. Made me feel like a lawyer.
Speaking about women, you know Nancy Feldman.
Yes.
She talks about coming to Tulsa from Chicago. She could have had a job with major law firms in Chicago, and she came to be with her soon-to-be husband, Ray. This was in the 50s. She had a law degree, and she knocked on doors and doors and doors, and she could not get a job as an attorney, but only as a secretary.
That's correct.
So you talk about how far we've come to say what you've just said now about women in the profession. That's a long
way. I remember I had a paralegal one time who I was very close to, personally. I was a wonderful girl. I remember she burst into my office one day and she said, Mr. Daniels, I've just been accepted to the University of Tulsa College of Law. And I looked at her and I said, that's what the world needs is another woman lawyer. She's never forgotten that.
No, I'm sure not. There was a time you worked for your father.
I collected rents for him. He owned some properties in downtown Tulsa, one of which was a billiard parlor that was underground on 3rd Street, right before you got to the Rialto Theater. I was collecting the rent one day. I went into this bar and I asked for the rent, and he said, well, I don't have any money. And I said, well, I can't go back and tell my dad that story. He expects me to show up with the rent. He turned around and there was this oil painting on the wall behind him. And he said, the best I could do is to give this to you. So I said, I don't know what it's worth, but I'll take it since you don't have any money. And I have it to this day. It's an oil painting of the 101 Ranch with three cowboys playing cards in the middle of a herd of steers.
I see it sitting right over here. I'm looking at it. Who painted that?
A fellow by the name of Linder from Oklahoma City. A lot of his paintings are in the Gilcrease and in the Woolrock Museums. this particular painting has him in it. He's one of the three cowboys that I just addressed, the center one.
It was worth at least $300 then, maybe more.
But anyway, my dad left it to me when he died.
What do you think it's worth today?
Oh, it's probably worth $15,000.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great memento.
It is. It's a great memento, and it reminds me of my working for my dad. It wasn't a bad job, really.